Across London, people are running into the wall Marvin is about to describe. Marvin is fictional. The wall is not. This is their story. In one of the more deprived constituencies in England, healthcare workers who want to train as nurses are being told there are no funded places, while hospital wards struggle with severe staffing shortages. The training infrastructure exists, the people exist, but Treasury spending constraints block the connection between them. Here is Marvin.
I always knew I wanted to be a nurse. When I was 15, my nan spent her last 3 months in and out of hospital, and I watched how the nurses cared for her. Not just the medical side, though that was important, but the way they spoke to her. The way they made sure she felt heard when the pain got bad. She used to say they had magic hands. I wanted those hands. I grew up in Catford, left school, and worked in a warehouse for a few years. But that memory of my nan kept pulling me back. In 2014, I started as a healthcare assistant at Lewisham Hospital. The plan was simple. Work, save money, study for my A-levels, part-time, then apply for nursing school. My wife Sarah thought I was mad, going back to education at 25 with a mortgage and a baby on the way. But she supported me. She teaches year 3 at the primary school down the road, so she understood about wanting to help people. For 5 years I did everything right. Worked full shifts at the hospital. Studied at night after our daughter went to bed. Saved every penny I could for when I would be a student again. I got my grades. I got my experience. In 2019, I applied to King's College London for their nursing degree. They accepted me. I thought the hard part was over. Then I got the letter from Health Education England. We regret to inform you that no funded training places are available for this academic year due to Treasury spending constraints. They suggested I reapply the following year. I called them up. The person on the phone was polite but clear. There is no funding. The budget has been cut. We cannot afford to run that program at full capacity. It sounded reasonable. I accepted it. Everyone was feeling the pinch, right? Public sector cuts were everywhere. I would wait a year. I reapplied in 2020. Same letter. Same phone call. Same explanation. No funding available. I reapplied again in 2021. By now, our daughter was walking and talking, and Sarah was asking whether maybe I should consider a different path. But every day at work, I could see how much the wards needed nurses. We were running on skeleton crews. Patients were waiting longer for basic care. The qualified nurses were exhausted, pulling double shifts, burning out. Then in 2022, I had a conversation that changed everything. I was having lunch with Jenny, another healthcare assistant who had been trying to get onto the same nursing program. She mentioned that her sister worked in the admissions office at King's College. You know they had 40 empty places on the nursing course last year, Jenny said. 40 places they couldn't fill because Health Education England's budget was capped. I did not understand. But they told us there was no money. There wasn't. But not because the money doesn't exist. Because the Treasury decided not to spend it. I started asking more questions. The training facilities were there. The lecture halls, the simulation labs, the placement hospitals. King's College had the capacity to train 40 more nurses. The lecturers were employed. The equipment was sitting unused. What exactly was it that there was no money for? Around the same time, Jenny's neighbour Maria told us her story. Maria was a qualified nurse who had moved here from the Philippines. She had been unemployed for 8 months, not because she was not qualified, but because NHS England could not fund the additional posts that hospitals desperately needed. Here was a trained nurse, ready to work, and a hospital with severe staffing shortages. But somehow the connection could not be made, because there was no money for her salary. I began to see the pattern. The people existed. The training places existed. The hospitals that needed staff existed. The infrastructure to connect them all existed. What did not exist was the willingness to spend the pounds that would make it happen. I started to understand something that had never occurred to me before. When Health Education England said there is no funding, they were not describing a fact about the world. They were describing a decision that had been made in Westminster. The government that prints the pound notes and mints the coins was telling me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to learn. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed. They did. Whether the skills could be taught. They could. Whether the training facilities were available. They were. Whether the hospitals needed more nurses. They desperately did. All of these things were real and present and waiting to be connected. The phrase, "there is no money," was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It was the same logic as a household saying, "we cannot afford it." Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still working as a healthcare assistant. I am still watching wards struggle with shortages while qualified people sit unemployed and training places sit empty. But I understand now what I did not understand when I started this journey. What happened to me was not bad luck. It was not an accounting problem. It was a series of political choices made by people who had alternatives. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. Every time someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, while people and needs exist side by side, I know I am listening to ideology dressed as accounting. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where the resources exist, but the political will to deploy them does not.
What Marvin experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat government budgets like household budgets, as though repeating the false analogy makes it true. Think of tobacco companies in the 1960s. They found scientists willing to question the link between smoking and cancer, then cited them as though the scientific consensus was divided. The technique was not to prove smoking was safe, but to create the impression that the experts disagreed. The same method works in economic policy. When Health Education England told Marvin there is no funding, they were echoing experts who treat the household analogy as self-evident. These voices are amplified precisely because they provide the intellectual cover needed to justify artificial constraints. The objection Marvin heard was typical. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. And in Marvin's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The training places existed, the qualified nurses existed, the hospitals that needed them existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Lewisham North ranks 158 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 3 according to the English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 from MHCLG. The constituency has 750 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Local organisations receive £20.4 million in total grants according to 360, giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.